Yeah, yeah. Get checked up and hurry up. Ice Cube, baby. 99, baby. I'm on the grind, baby. All the time, baby. Show me something.
You can do it, put your back into it.
I can do it, put your hands into it.
You can do it, put your back into it.
I can do it, put your hands into it.
Put your back into it.
Put your hands into it. Tick, tick, boom, hear me banging down these back streets. Right. Loving black street, treated like an athlete. Life ain't a track meet. No. It's a marathon, cemetery that a nigga gets buried on. We be coming to the day we die.
Yeah.
Ask the bartender if you think we lie. But if you think we hot, you can think again. Cause when it sink or swim, you got to think to win. Uh-huh. And if I drink this in, everybody know it. Cause I ain't going for it. So pray to the Lord that I don't pull out. Cuss out and bust out, go to the crowd, make a trigger shout. You can try to smoke an ounce to this, well I pronounce this. Baby bounce them, I'ma move them hips. Baby shake them cheeks, I got for days, you got for weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't stop, get it, get it.
That's real.
Don't stop, get it.
I will, I'm gon' do it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are live on the air with the Sam and Dan Nation, broadcasting to you from Trailer Island here in the heart of beautiful Louisville, Kentucky. We're here to rock your weekend jackalope style. Dan, what's good in the hood, baby?
I don't know what you was doing in 1999, but I was jamming to some Ice Cube watching Next Friday.
On the real. On the real. How the hell are you? You ready for tonight? You look good. You look nice.
I try. I've been working out.
Thank Christ.
I've been lifting 12 ounces at a time.
Cans at a time. Hey, the 12-ounce curls will get you in shape, man. They'll get you in some kind of shape. That's a fact. Thank Christ this wearing pants trend of yours has transcended 2 full weeks.
I know.
In a
what
row
has
now.
Happened?
Congratulations on that. You look good, sir.
Do I get a pants award?
You look good with pants on. You do. If you're listening to the show tonight for the first time, sit back, relax, open an ice cold beer, and get ready to have your weekend massage. We're going to give you a little weekend happy ending here, aren't we, Daniel?
Sure enough.
I'll tell you
by
what,
the way, ladies, I look good with the pants off as well.
He does. I've seen him, unfortunately. I'll tell you what, the listeners are lucking out on that. They usually charge for happy endings these days. Happy endings are expensive. Must be the cost of tissues.
I suppose so.
Damn economy just sucking the fun right out of life. When I said tissues, I meant for all the crying. That's what people do at the end of movies that have happy endings, right?
Yeah, sure.
I wasn't talking about the other kind of happy ending. People out there with dirty minds. Anyway, it has been a week, man. My goodness, I don't even know where to start. Not a very eventful week. I cut the hell out of my leg, which was nice. That was great. And like a dumbass, instead of going to the ER, I was stitched up here at the trailer. The most sanitary of environments.
Of course.
That's a fact. And, boy, I'll tell you what, man, if you've never had stitches put in with regular needle and thread and no anesthetic, you are really missing out.
Not even a bottle of cheap Heaven Hill vodka.
That's a real treat. It's a ton of fun. You know the part in Roadhouse where Dalton gets cut with the knife and he's stitching himself up? What does he say? Pain don't hurt. I call BS on that. It absolutely hurts. It hurts like hell. So that was sadly probably the highlight of my week. Oh, no, wait, it wasn't the highlight of my week. First of the month rolled around this week.
Yeah,
Big shout out to Uncle Russell for spending his unemployment check with us.
Yeah, like, my Uncle Russell, it's kind of like Seinfeld. He'll just do the, like, trample into the door, only it's a lot slower. Like, he's not getting through like Kramer. He's kind of like,
Wah! Russell does. Russell,
hey, how y'all doing?
Russell doesn't slide in anyway.
Y'all in there? And he'll just kind of open the door, and we don't lock our doors for some reason.
No, we really should. we should have an anti-Russell device, except on the first when he comes around with his unemployment.
Yeah,
Russell,
so
you are the man. Yeah, he showed up at the trailer at like 2 p.m. in the afternoon, just completely hand-bound, slurring his words.
I need y'all to take me to the Kroger's. I got to get my check cashed.
Come on, boys, let's cash this here check. So, of course we did. We went to Kroger, this grocery store that we have here, to cash it. And, dude, what killed me is he hit on every damn woman that was
there.
Well,
what was funny is there's just no way that any of these women would have wanted
him.
Yeah,
he looks like a ZZ Top reject, dude. Like, the long, he has this long, scraggly beard and this long hair that, the closest representation is if you watch Shameless. If you watch Shameless.
Frank,
yeah.
William H. Macy's character.
Yeah, he literally is like the walking embodiment of this dude. But yeah, he hit on every damn woman we came into contact with. And then what killed me is he couldn't. We were signing for the check, and he couldn't sign his social security number. Like, I had to go over and help him three damn times because he couldn't put his
it's
damn
like
social
security. It's like you've had this number for a while
three,
now.
3, 6, 7, 8. Oh, hell, wait a minute. What is it? 7, 9. Oh, wait, put it back in. 7, 8. The girl's just standing there ready to rip her hair out, hop over the counter, and shank us both in the throat. God almighty. So then, of course, we spent most of his check on beer and meat.
That's just the American way, isn't it?
We bought a lot of beer and a lot of beef, and then we went through the checkout, and he hit on the girl there, too. He tried to give her, what did he say? He was like, come on, baby, you want to go to Mexico? She was like, yeah. I would love to go to Mexico with your toothless ass. You know, it's pretty damn sad that the highlight of our week was your uncle spending his unemployment check party.
Yeah, no, I got you.
We got to get
out
more.
Don't have to remind me.
We got to get out more, man. Speaking of getting out, Dan and I are running ourselves a little contest. It's called America's Best New Booty. We are currently scouring the United States for big bootied women, women with junk in the trunk. Ladies, if you're listening, please turn up your radios and pay attention.
Can I say cushion for the pushing?
Cushion for the pushing, indeed. all of that. We're looking for all of that. Here we go. Think you've got the best booty in America? Well, here's your chance to prove it. Join the Sam and Dan Nation as we search for America's best new booty in a contest that will prove to everyone you have the assets to really get the attention you deserve. To enter the contest and win, you must be 18 years of age or older. Take a picture of that big, beautiful backside and email it to Sam and Dan Nation, all one word, at yahoo.com. No nudity, ladies, just a crystal clear creative pic. It shows us what you're working with. Our grand prize winner will receive cool Sam and Dan merchandise, have their booty pic featured on the official Sam and Dan fan page, and have the opportunity to become an official Team Motorboat Girl. So don't wait another second, ladies. Bust out those camera phones and start taking pictures. We want to see you as America's best new booty.
We would love to see your assets.
There you have it, ladies. Send us your butt pics. We'll throw them on our website. We'll throw them on the website,
we
and we'll let the fans.
The female form at the Sam and Dan Nation
decide a winner. We do appreciate the female form in the Sam and Dan Nation. We will throw your butt pictures on our website and let our fans decide a winner. The lucky lady with the most marketable assets will receive some cool Sam and Dan gear and will have the chance to accompany Dan and I to events, promotions.
Whatever we do.
Bar mitzvahs. We do bar mitzvahs now. DUI hearings. Whatever.
Does anybody ever roll in with some hoes to a DUI hearing?
Whatever we got going on that week.
Not saying the women are hoes. I just picture if you're going to go to a DUI hearing with women, they're going to be like skanks that you picked up on 3rd Street.
That's what I'm talking about, son. You roll in with a couple of dirty dirties on either arm. I don't think the judge is going to be leading.
Sack
with
of White Castle.
Killing me. I don't think the judge is going to be lenient on that at all. Not at all. Oh, my God. Okay. All right. So, moving on. We got a lot of stuff to go over tonight. We got to keep moving. Dan, have you read about... I know you've read about this Chick-fil-A thing. The stupid... All right. The guy, Dan Cathy, he's not the CEO, actually. He's just... I don't know. His dad's actually the CEO, but he's some high-ranking Chick-fil-A representative. He opened his mouth. And first of all, let me say that I appreciate this dude's right to free speech. I support that 100%, okay? But the comments that he made kind of opened Pandora's box in a little way, and everybody's talking about it. It's on every social media site. It's on Facebook. It's on Twitter. It's all over the internet. It's literally like a fast food war between, you know, gay rights-seeking homosexuals and right wing Christian Bible thumpers, whatever, in our country at the moment. And it's funny in a way. It is kind of funny. So Daniel and I, we decided we're gonna look at it and talk about it. I'm gonna read a little article here, just bits and pieces from it. We're gonna skim through it. We're not gonna go real heavy into it. But Chick-fil-A representative Dan Cathy has some serious problems with homosexual marriage. The article itself is a little bit lengthy. So basically, what this guy is talking about is even if you're biblically opposed to gay marriage, or if you agree with gay marriage, there's certain things about the company, Chick-fil-A in general, that people should know, which a lot of these are kind of striking. I thought it was interesting. Here are five reasons why Chick-fil-A isn't the company that you think it is. Chick-fil-A has donated at least $5 million to organizations, including a certified hate group that, among other things, depicts gay people as pedophiles and wants to make gay behavior illegal, and even says that gay people should be exported out of America. How would they do that? Would they like start a gay island somewhere?
Are you a homosexual? Get out of the country.
Get on this.
Go back to wherever, because you came from here.
You get on that rainbow striped plane and you get your ass to gay island in the middle of the Pacific. Chick-fil-A president Dan Cathy didn't merely say he supports traditional marriage. He said that if you support gay marriage, you are inviting God's judgment on our nation.
When is Westboro and Chick-fil-A just going to get together?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, start collaborating?
That's what I'm saying. And he says that when we do that, we shake our fist at him. Dan Cathy also said same-sex marriage is the result of a deprived mind and called it twisted-up kind of stuff. Chick-fil-A supports organizations that have claimed they can change gay people into straight people. These pray away the gay. Like, I think they should have a pray away the straight helpline. I really do. Because the Christians have had that monopolized for way too long. Not if there's anything wrong with Christianity, because there's not. But, let's see, the media keeps saying Chick-fil-A has never discriminated, but the truth is Chick-fil-A has been sued over a dozen times for employment discrimination. That's what a leading business publication, Forbes, stated in 2007, when they also called Chick-fil-A a cult and reported that Chick-fil-A's founder and CEO, Truett Cathy, said he wanted to hire married people only because they are more industrious and productive. Truett Cathy has also said he would probably fire someone who has been sinful or done something harmful to their family members. All right, so, but here's my thing. In actually defense of Chick-fil-A, and not defense of this is crap. Like, this is terrible. If they really do this, then Chick-fil-A is like some sinister masterminded company that's just trying to get rid of homosexuals in the USA. But here's the thing. When you ask an openly, you know, backwoods Christian guy, like, what do you think about gay people sleeping together and adopting children and being married? Of course he's going to tell you that idea don't make no sense. It's gay.
Well, we already knew they were weird because they closed on Sundays, and that's pretty devout, like,
dude,
Old
hate
Testament
that.
Stuff.
Hate that. Hate that about them.
I'm just saying, that about them. To me, when this came out, I was like, so? We already knew this.
Yeah, we already
it
knew
it. It just
this.
Wasn't well, being said.
Yeah, and
it's like... It's like when they told us that Rosie O'Donnell was gay. I was like, and?
Yeah, right, surprise.
I just like, we already knew this. It just wasn't spoken previously.
The fact that she could stunt double for John Goodman never gave you a clue. that's terrible. That was a dishonor to John Goodman. I like John Goodman.
He's actually looking better these days.
Yes, he is looking better. He's dropped a lot of weight. You know what's funny to me, though? Here's the thing. Usually people who have pent-up aggression towards homosexuals tend to have some seriously inlaid homosexual tendencies themselves.
That is true.
I'm just saying. So, Dan Cathy, I don't know, man. Maybe take a look in the mirror, sir. I don't know. What are you hiding in there? Everybody's got skeletons. Anyway, in lieu of Chick-fil-A's anti-homosexual stance, Dan and I decided to support one of our favorite restaurants. Going to play a little commercial spot for it now, so here we go.
Tired of dry, tasteless, homophobic chicken sandwiches? Overly opinionated restaurant owners and CEOs hating on your lifestyle? Don't let them ruin your dinner. Come on down to Cods and Cox, where fish and chicken don't just share a domestic partnership, they get married on a bed of lettuce. You might say our delicious fish and chicken sandwiches are bi-curious about pleasing your taste buds. Try our brand new salty cod sandwich with an order of rainbow chicken bites. or maybe our new Power Bottom Poultry Pounded Deluxe Sandwich. Sexy chicken breast, stretched wide, fist pounded and hammered into a delicate patty. Served with fried sardines and a side of our bi-curious buttermilk biscuits. It doesn't get any more accepting than that. You know what time it is. It's fishy chicken time. Grab your life partner and head down to a restaurant where anyone can be what they want to be, and you can stick anything you want in your mouth. Food, that is. Cods and Cox. Smells like fish, but it tastes like chicken.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Cods and Cox. Clearly they're referring to the male chicken, by the way. Don't want any misunderstanding about that. Okay, moving on. Dan and I gotta pay some bills. Keep the lights on here in Trailer Island. Reload that player card, and we will be back with this week's news report.
Find yourself searching the internet for works of literary genius? Look no further. Steinberg Media Group is here for all your intellectual, thought-provoking reading material. An avid supporter of the First Amendment, Steinberg Media Group is committed to publishing the most interesting, controversial, and thoroughly enjoyable literary works of the American mind. Don't waste another second numbing your brain with thoughtless network television. Pick up a book and get reading today. Visit our website, www.steinbergmediagroup.com. That's www.steinbergmediagroup.com. Are you tired of dressing like a sexless, humorless Protestant? Is your wardrobe bland, boring, and lacking in style? Well then, mothball those church clothes and visit the official Sam and Dan online store. We've got everything you need to make a real fashion statement. Cool, thought-provoking t-shirts for him and her. Check out our exclusive Team Motorboat gear for the ladies. And it doesn't stop there. We've got coffee mugs, beer steins, and stylish iPhone cases to complete your new look. It's all available right now. Visit www.zazzle.com/the Sam and Dan Nation and get your new gear today. Once again, that's www.zazzle.com/the Sam and Dan Nation.
Okay, folks, it's time for this week's news report. To start things off, I want to wish a very special happy birthday to my favorite writer and director, Mr. Kevin Smith, Silent Bob himself. We're all still chasing Amy in this life. Got a little Samantha Fox to kick it off this week. This is from the donkey scene.
Yeah, Clerks 2.
Kinky Kelly. Was that it? Kinky Kelly.
And the Tennessee Stud, right?
The Tennessee Stud. Happy birthday, Kevin Snoogans.
Naughty girls need love.
Ladies and gentlemen, a little Samantha Fox for you. I haven't heard that song in forever, dude.
Naughty girls need love too.
Okay, we got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, dude. I have no idea even where to really begin. We just go and get
we'll
started
just
with
do it.
It
anyway.
It's gonna get all right. It's the weekly news. We got a little mashup here, a little entertainment news and a little whatever news, but all of it's funny. So we're just gonna move through it. This is something that I thought was interesting because you and I've watched the show. Charlie Sheen reacts to likely anger management pickup and talks about American Idol judge gig. Sounds to me like Charlie's still winning.
I can see that.
But it sounds like he's still winning. FX is pleased with the performance of Charlie Sheen's anger management so far, and the network president, John Landgraf, said on Saturday it was likely the comedy will get picked up for the back 90 episodes? 90?
It's
90 episodes?
I watched it. Like, I don't get 90 episodes.
That's one hell
of
a pickup, man.
Like,
that's like walking into a bookstore and reading the first page of a book and being like, I want 90 of these right now.
I don't know if it's quite like that. It is a sitcom. Quality's way down on that.
2.5 Men was a sitcom, but this, I was hoping it was going to, like we discussed this earlier, I was hoping it was going to have a little more of that anger management, the movie.
No, absolutely.
Which is one of my only Adam Sandler films.
The only way I'm going to like Charlie Sheen's character in this is if at some point he like just kind of snaps back to being a jerk and whatever and like angry.
See, that's
and,
my
like,
thing. I would have just injected raw Charlie Sheen into that. I would have been like, here's a bag of Coke. And a couple of hookers. Let's make a sitcom.
Yeah, like I want to see it get weird. You do the sitcom cliches and whatnot, but you just do it really dirty and dingy. Like that's funny.
Yeah, that would be funny. Charlie says this whole process is exciting as hell. Look who I get to work with. This is really an amazing group. You know, I don't think 90 episodes is going to be enough. I feel we've started something that we haven't even scratched the surface of yet. Charlie clearly hasn't lost that confidence. What is the conversion scale for actors' pay into grams of cocaine? Moving forward, this isn't entertainment news, but it's funny. Because I'm a chef, I had to talk about this. 17-pound lobster is now off the menu at a Connecticut restaurant thanks to a hero customer. I'm going to read a little bit of it. Dan McKenzie racked up quite a bill at a Waterford, Connecticut restaurant, but he didn't eat a single thing. McKenzie ordered a 17-pound lobster that had become known as Lucky Larry, specifically to save the crustacean from facing a steamy, delicious, melted butter and lemon-filled demise.
Absolutely delicious.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. McKenzie figures Lucky Larry must have been close to 80 years old, given his size, and felt he deserved to be returned to the waters to live out the rest of his days. McKenzie said this lobster has seen World War I, World War II. He's seen the landing of the moon and the Red Sox win the World Series. Here's the thing, dude. I don't think Lucky Larry saw any of that.
Yeah, how's he supposed to see all that from behind the dingy glass of his tank?
I don't think Lucky Larry saw anybody land on the moon.
He probably just saw angry chefs doing the ball showing game to him. Like, ah, we're going to make you someday.
It's the chicken wing. Oh, it's the goat. It's the goat.
See, he couldn't have had a great
Dan life. McKenzie is an ass. Lucky Larry sounds like Delicious Larry to me. 18 years of just laying around in that tank soaking up flavor. Can you imagine how tender that sumbitch was? If he had really wanted to do Larry a favor, he would have just ended his damn suffering. Like, do you think after 18 years of being locked in a damn cage, he's going to just throw Larry into the ocean and Larry's going to swim home?
Probably not.
No, Larry got in the water and he was like, oh my God! Larry had a panic attack. His fat little lobster art just quit beating. It should have brought Larry to me. Bring me a mallet and some garlic butter. Me and Larry are having a goodbye party. I would have eaten his ass in the nude.
In the nude?
Just butt naked, covered in lobster fat and butter.
Would you wear one of those lobster bibs?
No, I don't want 18-year-old lobster. I don't want it on me, son. I got to be honest. Christ, this is turning into a fantasy. We got to move on. All right, enough about Larry. Larry sounds delicious. All right, moving on. This is something that actually kind of it aggravated me a little bit. Dane Cook jokes about Aurora, Colorado shootings. Like, this literally happened like a week after the shootings. Dane Cook, not my favorite person on earth anyway, but Dan Cook made light of the deadly Aurora, Colorado shootings during a stand-up gig on Thursday. This was last Thursday, actually. The comedian was performing at the Laugh Factory in Los Angeles when began telling a joke about the incident, which took the lives of 12 moviegoers and left 58 others injured. Now, this is the joke. I'm going to read it. He says, "I heard that the guy came into the theater about 20 minutes into The Dark Knight Rises. I don't know if you've seen the movie, but the movie's pretty much a piece of crap." Yeah, spoiler alert, he says, "I know that if, you know, none of this would have happened, I'm pretty sure that somebody in that theater about 25 minutes in, realizing it was a piece of crap, was probably like, somebody effing shoot me." That's what he said.
Yeah, right. I mean,
Dan Cook just riding on that ego. He can talk about dead people a week after.
That's pretty rough. I mean, you know, it's still hard to talk about Jonestown. I mean, let's be honest. Let's
talk about Jonestown.
Jonestown is kind of...
They drank the Kool-Aid.
No, it was technically, it was grape flavor aid.
I'll be honest, that changed Kool-Aid for me forever. I can't drink Kool-Aid no more. Stars of the Batman franchise, including a personal visit from Christian Bale, have all offered their condolences to those affected by the tragedy. It's a terrible thing. It's a horrible thing. But Cook decided to poke fun at the killings just under a week after the incident. After a wave of backlash, Cook has since apologized. "I made a bad judgment call with my material last night, and I regret making a joke at such a sensitive time. My heart goes out to all the friends and families of the victims." Sure. Sure it does, Dan. I remember when Dan Cook was cool. Do you?
I do.
It was like 2006.
It didn't last very long.
No, it was the summer of tan cargo pants and popped collars and douchebag fraternity.
I hate
brothers.
It too, because there's some films I like him in.
"Hey, bro, what are you gonna do tonight?" "Oh, bro, I'm super stoked. I got the new Dan Cook. Gonna go home and listen to the whole album twice while I drink overpriced beer and try to repress my deep-seated homosexual tendencies." "Thanks, Dan, for reminding everyone why we stopped thinking you were funny in the first place." What a prick. All right, so a couple more things here. We'll keep going. Man's package terrifies TSA airport staff. If you've been through security recently in the last few years at any airport anywhere, especially in the U.S., it's extremely intrusive. I don't even know that intrusive is a word for it. Intrusive is a bad word for it. It's like going to see the proctologist and the urologist and whatever the booby doctor is at the same time. A man reported to have the world's largest penis, which is based on an HBO special, but I think it's true. I think they confirmed he has the largest member of any man living, which isn't a bad title to hold, has sparked an airport security scare after staff believe that he may be smuggling a suspicious package in his pants. John Falcone. It's not Falcon. It's literally pronounced Falcone. That's how I would have him pronounce it. 41 was investigated by the Transportation Security Administration at San Francisco International Airport after officials falsely suspected his Herculean member to be a weapon.
"What are you doing, boy? You got a summer sausage in there?"
I'll tell you what, if I was that dude, because it's the security crap with TSA is ridiculous, dude. Like it's whatever. All right, to prevent terrorism, fine. I'll take a little intrusiveness. But some dude giving me the switcheroo and the whatever you want to call it, based on FCC regulations, I can't really go into what my real feelings are on it, but... If I was that dude, I would wear nothing but bicycle shorts, two sizes too small, with no underwear.
Well, most pictures that you find of him on the internet are actually in bicycle shorts.
And I would eat a handful of Viagra every time I went through a TSA checkpoint. Just, I'd walk up to the security gate like, "Hey, what's going on? I'm here for the party."
"Is that shiitake?"
"Don't make this awkward, dude. You're the one fondling my package for the U.S. government." "Don't be weird. This is a natural, beautiful thing. Just look at it from all angles. Take it all in." All right. I'm done. We got one more here to go tonight. Church refuses to marry black couple in Mississippi. This is terrible. This is sad. Those are the words an African-American couple used to describe how they felt when they were forced to change the venue of their wedding because of their race. "Because of the fact that we were black, some of the members of the congregation had got upset and decided that no black couple would ever be married at that church," Charles Wilson told CNN on Sunday night. All we wanted to do in the eyes of God was be man and wife in a church that we thought we were loved and we had family in. What was wrong with that? That's terrible. I think
it's time to be finding a new church.
That's what I was going to say.
Like, I mean, seriously, like, if you're going to spend time with these people.
Evidently, in our country these days, not only is marriage supposed to be a heterosexual thing, but it's also clearly meant to be a white thing. That's the stupidest damn thing I've ever heard.
No, no, see, I think it's even stupider than that. I think it's that they accepted them as church members, but they could not accept that for the first time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what I want to know is if these people attend the church regularly, how did they not know that they were surrounded by racist bigots? Like seriously, I mean, racist-ass white people are probably the most outspoken of any race group. I just don't understand how they didn't recognize the signs. Like, okay, like when the guy hands you the collection plate and then recounts all the money inside to make sure you didn't steal it.
That's terrible.
When the ushers are wearing white robes and they close every service with a cross burning, it's time to find a new damn church. It's time to find a new church. Anyway, good luck to those two. I hope they sue the hell out of them. I really do. Wannabe Westboro bastards. My God. All right, folks. That's going to do it for this week's news report. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time for arguably my favorite part of the Sam and Dan Nation. It's 420 here on the S&D, baby. And if you know what 420 means, then you know what you got to do. We're going to take us a little 420 break, and we'll be right back with this week's movie review, The Dark Knight Rises. Very excited to talk about that. Got a little Afro Man to get the party started. Let's light it up.
Roll another... Yeah. I was gonna clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high. My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. La-da-da-da-da-da. I was gonna go to class before I got high.
Come on, y'all.
Check it out.
I could have cheated and I could have passed, but I got high. I'm taking it next semester, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, cause I got high. Because I got high, because I got high.
Go to the next, go to the next, go to the next.
I was gonna go to court before I got high. I was gonna pay my child support, but then I got high.
No, you wasn't.
They took my whole paycheck, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high, because I got high, because I got high. Gonna run from the cops, but I was high.
I'm serious, man.
I was gonna pull right over and stop, but I was high. Now I'm a paraplegic, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, yeah. Cause I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. I was gonna.
Oh, wow, that was fantastic. God, we needed that. Okay.
Hold on.
You gonna make it, sir?
Yeah.
You gonna make it?
It's good.
Okay, I am crazy excited to get into this review. One of the most historic and memorable movies of our time, The Dark Knight Rises. I'm gonna have our resident Batman geek, Mr. Paul Coffey, on to talk soup with us. Let's get it started. We'll be right back.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for this week's movie review, something Daniel and I are very excited to talk about. A lot of controversy and stuff going on with it, but I was super excited to see the movie, and I know Daniel was too. The Dark Knight Rises, ladies and gentlemen. And to speak on the topic with us, we have on the show tonight a very special guest, Mr. Paul Coffey. I haven't had him on the show recently because we've had all these FCC restrictions. Paul's a little loose-lipped when it comes to talking smack sometimes, but he's agreed to keep it in his pants this evening, and we're going to have a rational, free-spirited discussion about The Dark Knight Rises. So, Paul, Sugar, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What's going on, honey? How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm good. You sound great. We're here to talk about The Dark Knight Rises. Daniel and I watched it this week. Let me ask you, how many times have you seen this flick?
This is, I'm on my fifth viewing, so six will be the next time. So
I'm shocked. You're actually kind of low on your count.
this time, last movie, I was only at four.
Really?
I watched Dark Knight 8 times total in theaters, and I'm hoping to at least double that number because I get the free hookup now.
To introduce Paul to our listeners, Paul is arguably... I wouldn't call him Batman's number one fan, but he's pretty damn well up there.
He's our Batman fan.
He's definitely our Batman nerd. There's no question about that. I mean, I dig Batman. I've always liked Batman, but I wasn't a crazy fanatic fan like you were. The Dark Knight Rises, out of the trilogy, it's my favorite.
I can second that.
And I didn't think it was going to be. I thought I was going to dislike it.
Well, Sam and I were discussing, it feels like a continuation of the story arc that was started in the first film, and it brings back a lot of that Bruce Wayne ninja samurai sort of.
This is it for me. Well, like I said, I'm not as big a Batman fan as you guys are. But that being said, I feel like these films, and Paul, I know what you're going to probably say, like if you have any issues with it, it's the deviation from the comic books, sort of.
Yeah, all of the deviations from the comic books, those are the issues that I have.
To me, it's literally like a samurai trilogy. It's beautiful. It's emotional. It's hard to really put into words if you haven't seen the movie. And obviously, we're not going to give away any spoilers. But
we're not going to give any away spoilers. But I would say that the very very end, very very last clip that we see in the movie is like Chris Nolan's final representation of the fact that Batman is a character that will live on forever.
Right.
Batman is the most important figure to Gotham City, and he could be that without being Bruce Wayne, although they would never make a movie without Bruce Wayne.
Right.
It says that Batman, best quote ever in relation to Batman, the coolest thing about Batman is you can drag Batman through hell and back. You can put him through whatever you want to put him through. You can have him do weaponized heroin in one scene and then kill him in the next, and it only makes the character strong.
Right.
Every time you retell the story, no matter what you do to him, it only makes him stronger because of that. He always comes out on top, and that's what was so intriguing to anybody that really tells a story of Batman well.
Well, the concept and themes endure.
I will say that for anybody that hasn't seen the film, obviously you need to see it. But for you guys specifically, you've seen the film once. Every time I've watched the film, I've picked up on something subtle that Chris Nolan has put in place. And I've pretty much got everything that's in there now. After the sixth viewing, the fifth viewing, it's taken that many viewings to bring into light some of the things. Some of the things are so ridiculously subtle that you just don't catch until you've seen it that many times. This series is probably going to be the best interpretation of Batman that we get on film, which is kind of sad because the comic books as themselves would liken straight to film and be fantastic, and you would never have to deviate from them. I understand the reason for deviation, but we could have something that would be better for that comic book fan like myself. But I will say that this is going to be the best representation of Bane, unless they actually do a physical Nightfall movie.
Right. Well, no, I completely agree with you. I think it's without a doubt the best representation of Batman that we're probably ever going to get, especially for the general public.
When it comes to Nolan's interpretations and stuff, I never agree with it. When I first see something like Heath Ledger's Joker, lame.
Right.
And I see pictures. I don't like the look of him. And then I see him on film.
Loved it.
Wins me over instantly. Bane hated the mask. Thought it looked like he was wearing women's underwear.
That's all we did, was talk
smack
about Bane before we saw it.
And watching the film, it was great. Anne Hathaway, don't like her at all. Loved her Catwoman.
Tom Hardy might arguably be the greatest actor of all time, simply for the fact that he sold you. That's an over-exaggeration, but he sold you on a character. He made you fear him without seeing all this film. The thing about Batman and Bruce Wayne is the viewer knows who's behind the mask, so the viewer can relate, and the viewer sees the man. So it's not the same.
Right.
You see Bruce Wayne for part of it. You know what's going on. And when you're watching Bruce Wayne, you see Batman.
Right.
But for Bane, this is not a spoiler. You see Tom Hardy's face for maybe 10 seconds through the whole film.
Right.
You know, that doesn't spoil anything.
Not even that long. It's like... It's probably like three or four seconds.
It's a flash. Saying 10 seconds is being very generous. But my point being, his eyes sell it. That voice, I love that voice since the time that I saw it. I was skeptical when I first saw the attire. I was a little better with it because actually Emma Frost did a release and talked about the attire and said that their wardrobe, they got the inspiration from the wardrobe from A Tale of Two Cities.
Right.
And so like that makes the epicness more viable. The voice really made that though.
The borderline, it was like a borderline British, almost Sean Connery-esque voice that he had going on, which I really dug.
You know what's funny is
it did.
You know, like, I was sold on Bane in the film as soon as the first trailer came out and I heard that voice. And the trailer doesn't even do justice for how menacing and epic that voice is.
No, I mean, I honestly like his character. And, you know, I know a lot of people will disagree, but I dug the character of Bane more so even than I dug Heath Ledger's Joker. Just simply because, I mean, the acting, Heath Ledger's acting Joker was, I mean, it was.
You're talking about two completely different characters, too. Like,
you guys introduced me wrong. You shouldn't have necessarily said, I know there are bigger Batman fans in the world. But you cannot show me one Batman fan that's bigger than that's a bigger fan than I am that doesn't like the Joker as their number one villain, because I don't.
Who is your number one villain?
That's probably a trick question. Either Riddler, Mad Hatter, or Bane himself.
Right on.
Batman's lovable for his rogue gallery, but I've always liked the Joker. The Joker's great, but he's not my number one. And with that said, I feel like Heath Ledger in the series as a whole, he did the best job. He created the most autonomous character. You know, that character is going to live on for a long time.
Heath Ledger's acting, out of anybody in the entire series, by far, he takes the cake. But as far as a villain goes, as far as a force to be reckoned with, as far as somebody that live on in your nightmares, the character of Bane is literally...
Right.
Borderline disturbing, man. Like, the Joker was crazy. He was all over the place. Bane is the antithesis of that. He's calculated. He's intelligent.
Right.
The Joker was too, but
he's more menacing.
Yeah, Bane wasn't as chaotic. He was, you know, everything was planned. He was five steps ahead of everybody else. You know, and that's terrifying in a lot of ways.
Well, no, see, the thing about it is like, you have to take that back, because if you think about the way the Joker was played out in The Dark Knight, the Joker was ahead. But here's the element that the Joker didn't have that they added to Bane. He was ahead, but he didn't care if what happened when we got to that point, if that was the outcome that he had predicted.
Right.
And the two instances, you can pinpoint that, because there's one instance where it planned the way that he wanted it to, and that was him getting locked up in county and getting blown up. You know, that whole thing went exactly the way he had planned it to.
Right.
Okay? But when he's executing it at the very beginning, he wanted Batman to kill him, end his crime. He wanted him to run his ass over right there.
Right. Right.
That's something that you know, that says he has that abandonment and doesn't care about the execution of his plan. Whereas Bane had that plan and was going to stick to that plan until the very, you know,
right.
He was going to see that plan through.
Well,
you see that in the film from the first time we see Bane.
True. That's very, very true.
And I'll tell you, my hat's off to Nolan, because when Dark Knight was about to come out, you actually, the first 7 minutes of the film, which is the whole Heath Ledger opening of the film, was attached to I Am Legend. Millions of people got to see it. I went to go see I Am Legend and left after I saw that. I'm being legit. I had to go pay for an IMAX ticket. I watched my 7 minutes and I left.
And
I've seen I Am Legend since then, and no knock, but I'm glad I left.
Nice. It's one of the greatest movies of our time. I believe that. I'll say that. It's the trilogy itself. It's beautiful
phenomenal.
To watch. It's a fantastic story. It's, you know, and like I said earlier, Daniel and I were talking about it last night. We were drunk, you know, comparisons to the samurai films like Kurosawa and, you know, stuff like that. And it's got that, you know, edgy, the unbeatable hero versus the unbeatable evil, you know, the foe that can't be reckoned with. And the story itself is such a fantastic imagining of Batman. That, you know, like I said, even somebody like myself who was never a huge, huge Batman fan, I mean, it's a Batman movie for anybody. I mean, anybody can watch it and enjoy it. And Dark Knight Rises, one of the best films I've seen in years. I can't actually, with any degree of certainty, tell you another film that I've seen recently that I dug as much. It's best film in the trilogy. If you see one of the three, watch that one, because it'll start you off and you'll have to go watch the other two.
My only advice real quick is that, first of all, I was able to, my first viewing, I saw it in a marathon setting at the
right.
movie theater. You know, at 6, we saw Begins. At 9, we saw Dark Knight. And at midnight, we saw Rises. And that's by far one of the best ways to do it, because you actually get to take in this whole picture that Chris Nolan is painting for you. To the average person, they're going to make the mistake. They'll watch The Dark Knight and they'll go see Rises. They really need to watch Begins first. And you could almost even watch Batman Begins and then skip The Dark Knight and watch
No,
the
that's
Dark
true.
Rises.
That's very, very true.
Because, I mean, there are a lot of things that carry over from The Dark Knight, but there are four more things that carry over from Batman Begins.
Oh, yeah, by far.
The time frame is Batman Begins occurs, and then from the end of Batman Begins to the beginning of The Dark Knight is supposed to be 4 months. From the end of The Dark Knight to the beginning of Dark Knight Rises is over 8 years in the timeline.
Yeah, the whole League of Shadows storyline, which I love. That's one of my favorite things about this new Batman trilogy, you know, is that Batman is effectively a ninja. Like, I dig that.
You
love
know,
it.
The first,
love it. Love
the first
martial
and
art.
Last movies Line are literally it. Bruce Wayne's story. The second one, it's more about the whole.
Second one's all about the
everything.
Joker, in my opinion.
It's not all
well,
about
you
the
know,
Joker, but it's about
Chris
the whole.
Nolan. Chris Nolan actually said that what he was doing is the first story was to represent Bruce Wayne.
Right.
The second story was to represent Gotham City and just corruption in general, like corruption in any place. And then the third film is actually Batman's film.
Right.
It's a film to talk about Batman. You know, like I said, you can drag him through the mud. You can kill him. You can do whatever it is that you want to do to him. Weaponized heroin. He can be seeing little bat mite creatures of himself. He can wear a purple and yellow costume, and he can still come out on top, stronger, more vigilant.
Indeed. Well, it gets two thumbs up from me, two thumbs up from Dan, and definitely two big, giant, swollen thumbs up from Paul. Veiny, swollen thumbs up. Great review. Mr. Paul Coffey, thank you so much for being on our program tonight. We love you. Fantastic to have you on. We'll have you on again soon.
And ladies and gentlemen, we are nearing the end of our program here. The one thing we didn't talk about tonight, which is major news right now, is the Olympics. The 2012 Summer Olympics.
When I'm watching the Olympics, I'm mostly watching women's volleyball, Gymnastics.
Right, right, right. Well, as a nice counterpoint tonight, we had our friend Mr. Gary from Pikeville, Daniel's personal stalker. He's on the program tonight, and he agreed to be our Olympic correspondent for the show. So, good old Gary. Very excited to have him on tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, here's Gary with the 2012 Olympic Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your buddy Gary, and I'm here to tell you that I got the Olympic fever. 2012 has been a year in sports that none of us will ever forget. I just can't stop watching all these sweaty men exercising. The running, jumping, and jiggling's playing hell on Gary's blood pressure. I swear to God it is. Let's start with that sweet chunk of man meat, Mr. Michael Phelps. If there's a pool in heaven, that boy's gotta be a lifeguard. He can save my fat ass from drowning anytime. I've never seen so many abdominal muscles flexing at once. That boy's got a set of butt cheeks you could crack a coconut in, I tell ya. And that's got nothing to do with swimming. This year, Mr. Sexy set an all-time Olympic standard, becoming the first man since the wrestling Romans to win 20 damn Olympic medals. With all that gold around his neck, I'm willing to bet there's some gold in them there swim trunks. Hard to believe the nice people at the Trojan Magnum Company have yet to offer this gifted fish of a man a sponsorship. I guess we're just going to have to wait and remain fantasizing at the Wheaties box. On now to men's gymnastics, without a doubt Gary's favorite Olympic sport. I can't pronounce any of their names, but I never forget a chiseled, baby-powdered body. Those boys have worked hard to look that way. Good Lord, when they were there in that, I had to cancel all my damn plans for 2 days. All my friends thought I died. My mother sent my friend Chauncey over to check on me. I can't remember what happened because I blacked out, but he said I had barricaded myself around the damn TV. He found me nude and unconscious, covered in baby oil, with a gauze-taped hand. Evidently, things got a little out of control over at Gary's house. I'm fine now, but God help me, I think I forgot to erase it from my TiVo. The pretty lady boys from the Chinese Communist Red Curtain took home the gold as USA finished in a disappointing fifth. Don't worry, boys from the USA. America loves you. You did us proud anyway. You proved to us all once again that muscular, sweaty men know how to ride the wooden horse. Go Team USA. Last but not least, it was a flurry of chocolate dreams and camel tails in this year's track and field event. With all the ball throwing, stick handling, and pole vaulting, it's hard to disagree that this sport has some serious underlying phallic representations. I wish I could tell you who won a single damn event, but I was too busy trying to keep from passing out. It's safe to say that we have never before witnessed a buffet of man candy like this before. Ladies, I'm here to tell you that if you haven't been watching the 2012 Summer Olympics, you're missing out. Thank the sweet baby Jesus it isn't over yet. Now, Gary's gotta go. I got a date with a large container of gun oil in my remote control. If y'all don't hear from me by the 13th of this month, please, for the love of God, send help. I gotta go. Go Team USA! Mwah! Kisses!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that will do it for the Sam and Dan Nation. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. To take us out tonight, we have one of my favorite bands, Asking Alexandria, with the final episode. We will see you next week. Have a good night.
Don't stop me. I say I will fight. I live and fight. blood.